Okay, so agenda item number one, action on approval of minutes. Can we get a motion to approve, as long as you're okay with them?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, the minutes are approved. Number two, modification to the agenda may be taken out of order. So I guess my question on this one, since Mark and NV Energy is already here, would it be inappropriate to let them go ahead and present? You guys are last on the list. I don't want you to wait till the very end. That's not cool. So is that appropriate?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can modify the agenda.
Okay. If there's
no need to have it.
Do I need a motion to do that?
I think so.
Okay.
That'd be proper.
I move that we modify the current agenda to afford our guests the opportunity to address the council.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, so moved. Okay. So, should we go ahead and do that? Okay, so then we're going to move non-action item C, discussion of possible presentation regarding NV Energy's tree clearance and pruning program, to number one. So, Mark, would you and your crew like to come on up?
Okay, you can hear me. So, I know that you had wanted a status update initially, and so what I did is I looked at a couple key things. When did we start? And I told you guys originally it was going to be in June, and we didn't actually get started until July 15th. Just emphasizes the fact that we continually run behind. Every place that we go, it's so intense, so much work to be done, it's taking longer and longer. What circuit are we in now? There are actually three circuits that I told you coming out of the Curry substation. There's Curry 1280, 1281, and 1282. We are currently in the 1281 because that was the one that was affecting the governor's mansion, kind of in the heart, and we wanted to knock that out sooner rather than later.
So that's the first?
That is the one we are in now. We broke that circuit up into multiple packets because each packet is roughly about 200 trees. We had our governmental affairs person involved from NV Energy, which is Linda Bissett, that was dealing with the governor's mansion and the governor's office. And she wanted to ensure that we were at least meeting their needs, that we're not involved with any of their events that were going on in the summer. So we're doing some coordination using a four-block radius around the governor's mansion and letting her know when we're in that four-block radius, when we're not. Unfortunately, the bulk of the work is in that four-block radius. Yeah. Literally 90% of the circuit is within that four-block radius. So we're simultaneously working packets two and three at the same time. Okay, so that gives us the latitude to move in and out as needed. Currently, we are between the Curry Sub, which I think you know where the substation is here in town, and Winnie Lane, north to south, and between Nevada Street and West Sunset Way, east to west, if that makes any sense. I also brought you the maps that I promised, so I've got those. How many circuit packets in each circuit? The 1281 circuit that I just mentioned that we're in has six packets, about 1,300 trees. 1,300 trees. And if you look at the map, actually, if I may go up. Within that small green zone is 1,300 trees. How many trees trimmed and removed so far? Estimated count is 130. This is so far, since we started July 15th. So far, we've trimmed 131 trees. We've had 12 facility protects. Facility protects are basically hazards, whether that's dead overhang, dead products in the tree, something that would fall out. I kind of classify that separate from trimming. There's 12 facility protects, 13 removals, and 2 units of brush. A unit of brush, basically think of it from one end of your table to the other and about 10 foot wide. That would be a unit. Brush is usually volunteer growth, volunteer elms, things that are just coming up small, spindly, up to a 4-inch diameter. So anything 4 inches or less, that would be classified as part of that brush. What is our timeline of progress? Basically, when were we going to finish these? Packets 2 and 3, we are working at the same time, and they estimate approximately 3.5 weeks to finish that. How many crews are working in the area on a daily basis? We have 5 crews, 5 bucket crews.
All from the same contracted company? Or
all from Asplund Tree Expert Company. Current response feedback from the property owners, is it positive, negative, do we not care? What's the general gist that we're getting from?
That's what I'm most curious about.
Us being in their backyard. We've had a few refusals, a few. Right now I think, there may be 4, but I know of at least 2 to 3, maybe 4th. Refusal. The rest has been relatively positive. It's not like we've had people chasing us out of the yards with broomsticks or anything.
What happens when you refuse?
What we do, and really there's no way to refuse. The NV Energy is tasked by the PUC and PCN to keep our lines clear. The refusal process, the way I see it, is a document that documents the property owner, the address, the location, contact information. What it is that are they refusing? Is it the trim? Is it access? You know, I don't want you on my property. I don't want you to get as much clearance. I have concerns. Whatever the case, but whatever the objection is, it simply documents it so that I can now go talk to the property owner. And then we can kind of negotiate. Is it a cypress tree that I don't really need 10 feet on? Could I get away with 7 feet? What is that negotiation? And then if all else fails and they still say, I don't want you here, go away, then I go to legal and I say, legal, what can I do? How do you want to push this? Usually the next step is a certified letter saying, by certain laws, regulations, we must obtain a safe clearance. You know, consult your attorney, your insurance for your own liabilities involved, but ultimately we have the right to trim. If they refused a removal, we would certainly just get our clearance, and that would lead to the topping scenario, which I don't want to do. It's not what I want to do. I would rather remove. But that's basically the premise. That's how we would approach it. I did ask the crews, where are they dumping the chips? And right now it's at the prison on Snyder Drive. Travel time, basically, for them to go dump is roughly running about 45 minutes. So that's every time they have to fill a truck and unload the truck, it's 45 minutes. And currently those crews are at the NV Energy. They're staging at the NV Energy office here in Carson. So they're not like in some back casino parking lot or anything. That pretty much was what I wanted to present as far as a current status. I really expected more pushback, but everybody is telling me that people are fairly receptive to what we're doing, with the exception of the handful, which by my experience, that 1 to 5% of your populace is going to resist. Mm-hmm. They're not going to like what you do, no matter how you present it. I have worked very closely with our Vice President of External Affairs, the Executive Officer from Governmental Affairs, as well as our Vice President of Operations, Electric Operations. We toured them in the area around the Governor's Mansion, as well as other areas on that circuit, presented them and said, this is what we're faced with. Kyle, you had mentioned in that email about some of the articles that were being written up,
yeah,
up north.
Yeah, it was in particular, we got this one,
right,
in, and it was it was what you would expect from an article that had negative view of what you guys were doing. And the pictures. And I guess the two things that this article raised for my attention was is the only bad thing that I've heard since you guys are starting this, that there was a neighbor and she's going around with a camera taking before and after pictures. Mm-hmm. And she's taking it upon herself to kind of be this person, you know, mm-hmm. to raise to light any, you know, nasty trees. It seems like it's an ongoing battle that will never be completely done unless the removal of the inappropriate trees are just they're removed and they're replaced with something that's way more site appropriate. I guess what I'm having problem with is the responsibility to clear and remove the trees, but not having any responsibility for what's left in its wake. You know, like if a tree's removed, that landowner's kind of stuck with a stump and an empty space. You know, and you guys came and did what you needed to do, but then there's something left in its aftermath that's left for the homeowner or whatever to deal with. And I know we can't make an action on it now, but I'd really, really love, and how it was said here at the end of the thing, at the end of the article, about a replacement program and a voucher program. And I know there's a number of lists that are out there for site-appropriate power line trees, and I know you guys have them too. What is the possibility of looking really long-term into the future? And kind of diminishing the removal and doing more of a rip and replace. Is it cost effective? Has NV Energy looked at that at all? What are your thoughts on a rip and replace program?
That has been talked about. My predecessors from years and years ago have talked about it. NV Energy, including the Vice President's External Affairs that we've talked to, we've mentioned this. We've even looked at other utilities that had some type of replacement, even if it was a gift certificate. For example, Colorado Xcel Energy had a gift certificate program where if we remove a tree, we're not going to give you face value. It's not going to be a one-for-one. But
right.
Here is a, I'm sorry we had to take your tree
right.
gift certificate.
It helps the pain a
little bit. They stopped that.
They okay.
said it became too costly and there was no control. Basically, there was nothing that said that that property couldn't turn around, go to the nursery, get a linden tree, and put it right back in its place. It's been told to me very adamantly,
okay.
we will not replace trees. We don't own trees. These are not our trees to begin with. And that it is the property owner's responsibility to manage their own landscaping. We are not a free tree service. I mean, we are there to maintain our power lines. And yes, there are going to be times when we want to be the good neighbor. And the fact that we're, in some cases, removing wood, going the excessive degree of trying to appease to certain property owners' issues, whether that's compromising on clearances or taking wood away when we don't normally take wood away, to removing a tree in its entirety so that it wouldn't be there in the future, is a great expense. There are some of these trees that can cost us upwards of $5,000 a tree
right.
to get out. That's just a cost that is rolled into the ratepayers' rates. You multiply that by the volume and mass of the area that we're covering from Elko to Tonopah up to the lake. There's no way that we could justify that expense.
Well, from a number standpoint and a marketing standpoint, if you look at the short term, yeah, it's way more expensive in the short term. But if you look at the long term, and if you're going to be doing this for 10, 20, 30 years, to get rid of a tree that you might work on every other year for the next 10 years and put a tree in its place that you're not even going to have to send another crew back to for another 10 years.
But why is it NV Energy's responsibility to replace that tree?
It's not. It's absolutely not. But what you get in review is you get citizen activists that go around and take pictures of your guys, you know.
What
and
I
this definitely
proposed.
Isn't the first time that this topic has come up in
right.
in the tree council. So as much as you guys have talked about rip and replace, we've also talked about topping. And the fact is that trees don't grow naturally here. So when you top a tree and it gets sick because it's done in the heat or it's done in an inappropriate way or a tree's removed, there's not another tree ready to grow up right in its place. That doesn't happen in Carson City.
Correct.
So what we're looking at here is you're doing your job, and again, in its aftermath and in its wake, the city itself is left with a more barren, less marketable, less hospitable. And it was it was what you would expect from an article that had a negative view of what you guys were doing. And the pictures. And I guess the two things that this article raised for my attention was is the only bad thing that I've heard since you guys are starting this, that there was a neighbor and she's going around with the camera taking before and after pictures. Mm-hmm. And she's taking it upon herself to kind of be this person, you know, mm-hmm. to raise to light any, you know, nasty trees. It seems like it's an ongoing battle that will never be completely done unless the removal of the inappropriate trees are just they're removed and they're replaced with something that's way more site appropriate. I guess what I'm having problem with is the responsibility to clear and remove the trees, but not having any responsibility for what's left in its wake. You know, like if a tree is removed, that landowner's kind of stuck with a stump and an empty space. You know, and you guys came and did what you needed to do, but then there's something left in its aftermath that's left for the homeowner or whatever to deal with. And I know we can't make an action on it now, but I'd really, really love, and how it was said here at the end of the thing, at the end of the article, about a replacement program and a voucher program. And I know there's a number of lists that are out there for site-appropriate power line trees, and I know you guys have them too. What is the possibility of looking really long-term into the future and kind of diminishing the removal and doing more of a rip and replace? Is it cost-effective? Has NV Energy looked at that at all? What are your thoughts on a rip and replace program?
That has been talked about. My predecessors from years and years ago have talked about it. NV Energy, including the Vice President's External Affairs that we've talked to, we've mentioned this. We've even looked at other utilities that had some type of replacement, even if it was a gift certificate. For example, Colorado Xcel Energy had a gift certificate program where if we remove a tree, we're not going to give you face value. It's not going to be a one-for-one. But
right.
Here is a, I'm sorry we had to take your tree
right.
gift certificate.
It helps the pain a
little bit. They stopped that.
They okay.
said it became too costly and there was no control. Basically, there was nothing that said that that property couldn't turn around, go to the nursery, get a linden tree, and put it right back in its place.
Hmm.
It's been told to me very adamantly,
okay.
we will not replace trees. We don't own trees. These are not our trees to begin with. And that it is the property owner's responsibility to manage their own landscaping. We are not a free tree service. I mean, we are there to maintain our power lines. And yes, there are going to be times when we want to be the good neighbor. And the fact that we're in some cases removing wood, going the excessive degree of trying to appease to certain property owners' issues, whether that's compromising on clearances or taking wood away when we don't normally take wood away, to removing a tree in its entirety so that it wouldn't be there in the future, is a great expense. There are some of these trees that can cost us upwards of $5,000 a tree
right.
to get out. That's just a cost that is rolled into the ratepayers' rates. You multiply that by the volume and mass of the area that we're covering from Elko to Tonopah up to the lake. There's no way that we could justify that expense.
Well, from a number standpoint and a marketing standpoint, if you look at the short term, yeah, it's way more expensive in the short term. But if you look at the long term, and if you're going to be doing this for 10, 20, 30 years, to get rid of a tree that you might work on every other year for the next 10 years and put a tree in its place that you're not even going to have to send another crew back to for another 10 years.
But why is it NV Energy's responsibility to replace that tree?
It's not. It's absolutely not. But what you get in review is you get citizen activists that go around and take pictures of your guys, you know.
What
and
I
this definitely
proposed.
Isn't the first time that this topic has come up in the
right.
in the tree council. So as much as you guys have talked about rip and replace, we've also talked about topping. And the fact is that trees don't grow naturally here. So when you top a tree and it gets sick because it's done in the heat or it's done in an inappropriate way or a tree's removed, there's not another tree ready to grow up right in its place. That doesn't happen in Carson City.
Correct.
So what we're looking at here is you're doing your job, and again, in its aftermath and in its wake, the city itself is left with a more barren, less marketable, less hospitable environment. So yeah, I mean, you could say, nope, that's your guy's problem. That tree was planted before we came here, and we put the power lines up after the fact when it was only 6 feet tall, and it's your thing to deal with. But is that the way that you want to present what's going on to the city that you're working with and your customers?
In regards to that, we would rather, at this point, at least what it was presented to me, we would rather do more public education in the sense of, you know, and I've brought some examples of literature that could be shared. We would rather and try to get that message out about customer responsibility as far as putting in proper vegetation, right tree, right place, and let that customer manage that property. When they have the responsibility, when they own that property, they take on the vegetation that is there as well. The fact that we're coming in and maintaining those lines to provide safe and reliable power to the community is a huge responsibility and a huge undertaking. I would argue that at some point in history, that property owner knew there was a tree, they knew that that tree was possibly going to be a problem, and they elected not to. And so now it's placed the burden on us and our expenses to go in and manage that tree for them, which I disagree with. And I think it is prudent for the power company to say, yes, we want to help the community, and we're willing to share that information. We're willing to put out the why, but it's still going to be that property owner's responsibility to do that. What if, you know, take it from the sense that what if somebody's water main broke and it flooded two houses down? Mm-hmm. That property owner is going to be responsible for the damage that happened in that community. But why would it be up to the community or to the plumber to replace that pipe and pay for everybody else's damages too? So
well,
again, we're trying to draw a line, and we're putting that chicken before the egg. Which came first, chicken or egg? It really doesn't matter. What we're faced with now is power lines in conflict with trees.
If a tree does bring a power line down, whose responsibility is it at that point in time?
If the tree brings the
yeah, if there's a tree that, you know, if there's a tree, a limb breaks and it brings a power line down, is it the homeowner's responsibility at that point if it's deemed that that tree needed to have maintenance and it was not done?
No,
or
we
like
would put that wire back up and restore the power, okay. But the debris would be left for the property owner, sure.
Okay. I was just trying to parallel it with the water main breaking and stuff like that and affecting neighbors down the line if that was their responsibility.
I'm grabbing at straws as far as a
right,
good
right.
example. But, you know, it's at this stage, if this was going to go further, if that was to be pursued further, I would have to refer that back to our corporate communications and external affairs folks. And Faye Anderson is our corporate communications person. And certainly that could be presented. And at some point, would that change? I don't know.
Right.
But at this point, that's what's been dictated to us. And I would agree. I've argued with the company that we need to do more shotgun approach of getting the information out there. Why is it that we do what we do? I would argue that we do not top trees.
That was tongue-in-cheek. I meant to put air quotes in there.
We definitely don't top trees. We are forced at times to do a drastic crown reduction, but we are always looking for a lateral to go back to that would take over.
Right. It's just aesthetics. It's aesthetics.
It's all
and,
aesthetics.
You know, Dr. Seuss is great for books, but I didn't move here for Dr. Seuss trees. You know, a cottonwood with one little green stump over here falling off to the side. It just looks horrible. And do you live here?
I live in Reno.
You live in Reno? Yeah, I mean, when you live in Carson City, you recognize the extreme unique benefit that trees offer to this area. And that's why this council is so adamant, and that's why citizens are so vocal about the trees, because when these things grow old and die, if there is not a replanting program in place, we are back to windy, sandy sagebrush. And there's not going to be anything for you guys to do here because it's all going to die and come to maturity. So there absolutely has to be talk of a replanting program on some sort of way, whether it's a small voucher, a something, but if trees don't get replanted and all they do is get chopped down, this place is not going to be hospitable.
But I would argue, too, that the majority of trees that we're talking about that have to be severely V-trimmed or side-trimmed are not necessarily native to this area. Siberian elm is a
environment. So yeah, I mean, you could say, nope, that's your guy's problem. That tree was planted before we came here, and we put the power lines up after the fact when it was only 6 feet tall, and it's your thing to deal with. But is that the way that you want to present what's going on to the city that you're working with and your customers?
In regards to that, we would rather, at this point, at least what it was presented to me, we would rather do more public education in the sense of, you know, and I've brought some examples of literature that could be shared. We would rather and try to get that message out about customer responsibility as far as putting in proper vegetation, right tree, right place, and let that customer manage that property. When they have the responsibility, when they own that property, they take on the vegetation that is there as well. The fact that we're coming in and maintaining those lines to provide safe and reliable power to the community is a huge responsibility and a huge undertaking. I would argue that at some point in history, that property owner knew there was a tree, they knew that that tree was possibly going to be a problem, and they elected not to. And so now it's placed the burden on us and our expenses to go in and manage that tree for them, which I disagree with. And I think it is prudent for the power company to say, yes, we want to help the community, and we're willing to share that information. We're willing to put out the why, but it's still going to be that property owner's responsibility to do that. What if, you know, take it from the sense that what if somebody's water main broke and it flooded two houses down? That property owner is going to be responsible for the damage that happened in that community. But why would it be up to the community or to the plumber to replace that pipe and pay for everybody else's damages too? So
well,
again, we're trying to draw a line, and we're putting that chicken before the egg. Which came first, chicken or egg? It really doesn't matter. What we're faced with now is power lines in conflict with trees.
If a tree does bring a power line down, whose responsibility is it at that point in time?
If the tree brings the
yeah, if there's a tree that, you know, if there's a tree, a limb breaks and it brings a power line down, is it the homeowner's responsibility at that point if it's deemed that that tree needed to have maintenance and it was not done?
No, or we like would put that wire back up and restore the power, but the debris would be left for the property owner, sure.
Okay. I was just trying to parallel it with the water main breaking and stuff like that and affecting neighbors down the line if that was their responsibility.
I'm grabbing at straws as far as a
right,
good
right.
example. But, you know, it's at this stage, if this was going to go further, if that was to be pursued further, I would have to refer that back to our corporate communications and external affairs folks. And Faye Anderson is our corporate communications person. And certainly that could be presented. And at some point would that change? I don't know.
Right.
But at this point, that's what's been dictated to us. And I would agree. I've argued with the company that we need to do more shotgun approach of getting the information out there. Why is it that we do what we do? I would argue that we do not top trees.
That was tongue-in-cheek. I meant to put air quotes in there.
We definitely don't top trees. We are forced at times to do a drastic crown reduction, but we are always looking for a lateral to go back to that would take over.
Right. It's just aesthetics. It's aesthetics.
It's all
and,
aesthetics.
You know, Dr. Seuss is great for books, but I didn't move here for Dr. Seuss trees. You know, a cottonwood with one little green stump over here falling off to the side. It just looks horrible. And do you live here?
I live in Reno.
You live in Reno? Yeah, I mean, when you live in Carson City, you recognize the extreme unique benefit that trees offer to this area. And that's why this council is so adamant, and that's why citizens are so vocal about the trees, because when these things grow old and die, if there is not a replanting program in place, we are back to windy, sandy sagebrush. And there's not going to be anything for you guys to do here because it's all going to die and come to maturity. So there absolutely has to be talk of a replanting program on some sort of way, whether it's a small voucher, a something. But if trees don't get replanted and all they do is get chopped down, this place is not going to be hospitable.
But I would argue, too, that the majority of trees that we're talking about that have to be severely bee-trimmed or side-trimmed are not necessarily native to this area. Siberian elm is a opportunistic tree.
You're right.
Cottonwood is an opportunistic tree.
Which is the only native to our area.
It will go wherever the seed blows. And most of these mature trees that we're talking about in the historic district happen to get established and were allowed to grow. Again, do we want to say that we want to replace every tree that voluntarily grew in this area because there was water from the property? I don't know.
Some of those trees voluntarily grew 100 years ago before that house was even built on that property and before your power lines even went in.
But back then, power was just accepted. I'll take power however it comes down the line. Most of the time they took them down the property lines. That's where those trees grew because that's where a fence was. And again, I just don't think that the power company needs to be responsible. They have one responsibility, and that is to provide safe, reliable power. Beyond that, the management of landscapes is not our business. It's not.
I was wondering if there was some way the city could start a fund that would help replace those trees.
Well, I'll address that a little more with our the presentation. Okay. I made to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay.
The question I come up with, too, are we talking about private property trees or are we talking about city-owned trees?
We're just talking. I just want to see where you stand, you know, and how NV Energy stands in regards to that. Go ahead, Terry.
I was just wondering if this pruning process is ever going to disable, according to some people, a sufficient number of trees to radically impact the whole environment, like he was alluding to, sagebrush and wind and sand. Are there ever going to be a sufficient number of trees taken down or pruned back to produce such a...
I guess that's a good question. Is 32 trees every other year going to really make
an
impact?
Yeah, but they're not all on the same piece of property.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, either way, I just want you to know that we absolutely respect your responsibility as the power company, and we're not in debate of that one bit whatsoever. We're just, you know, we're trying to cover the future of the urban forest, and that's why these questions are raised up. I don't think anybody here disagrees with the fact that the safety and security.
I mean,
of the
one thing that I'm trying to deal with on a daily basis is the fact that I have over 15,000 miles of distribution line and almost 5,000 miles of transmission line, literally for the northern half of Nevada. And they've given me 13 crews now. Five of them are here right in Carson City. That means for every place that I'm working now, there's another place that's not getting worked.
Gotcha.
And I have a minimum amount of budget. Now, if we start talking about putting in tree replacement, there goes my budget more.
Okay.
So the question comes up is, do you want to deal with the trees that are in contact with power lines, potentially causing fires, the reliability and the outage factor, or do you want trees? Not arguing that the trees aren't important, but I have to say that there is nowhere in this industry of utility arboriculture do trees and power lines exist happily unless it's an ornamental tree. So you can't compare a cottonwood that got established years and years ago, power lines went in. At that point, they didn't really care. They just wanted lights in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And then as this outage that occurred in 2003 that blacked out all of the East Coast, all of a sudden trees and power lines became a big issue. You look back to the East now with that windstorm that came through and ripped out all the neighborhoods, you know, there's a big push again about trees. The tree is never a problem until it causes outages. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, wow, that tree caused an outage. Why weren't you there taking care of it? Well, prior to that, when we were there to try and prune it, we get all this resistance.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we've got to look at it in a cooperative effort. And I'm not saying that Carson City doesn't deserve trees. All I'm saying is that is it really the power company's responsibility to reforest that urban forest? It's not. It's got to be either the community itself or the city or some private entity that's going to come in afterwards. Yes, ma'am.
I just want you to know that every year you trim my trees back from the electrical.
Mm-hmm.
And they've always done a nice job. I just ask them to come when I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very cooperative, and they'll come and talk to you, and I think you do a very good job.
Opportunistic tree.
You're right.
Cottonwood is an opportunistic tree.
Which is the only native to our area.
It will go wherever the seed blows. And most of these mature trees that we're talking about in the historic district happen to get established and were allowed to grow. Again, do we want to say that we want to replace every tree that voluntarily grew in this area because there was water from the property? I don't know.
Some of those trees voluntarily grew 100 years ago before that house was even built on that property and before your power lines even went in.
But back then, power was just accepted. I'll take power however it comes down the line. Most of the time they took them down the property lines. That's where those trees grew because that's where a fence was. And again, I just don't think that the power company needs to be responsible. They have one responsibility, and that is to provide safe, reliable power. Beyond that, the management of landscapes is not our business. It's not.
I was wondering if there was some way the city could start a fund that would help replace those trees.
Well, I'll address that a little more with our the presentation. Okay. I made to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay.
The question I come up with, too, are we talking about private property trees or are we talking about city-owned trees?
We're just talking. I just want to see where you stand, you know, and how NV Energy stands in regards to that. Go ahead, Terry.
I was just wondering if this pruning process is ever going to disable, according to some people, a sufficient number of trees to radically impact the whole environment, like he was alluding to, sagebrush and wind and sand. Are there ever going to be a sufficient number of trees taken down or pruned back to produce such a...
I guess that's a good question. Is 32 trees every other year going to really make
an
impact?
Yeah, but they're not all on the same piece of property.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, either way, I just want you to know that we absolutely respect your responsibility as the power company, and we're not in debate of that one bit whatsoever. We're just, you know, we're trying to cover the future of the urban forest, and that's why these questions are raised up. I don't think anybody here disagrees with the fact that the safety and security.
I mean,
of the
one thing that I'm trying to deal with on a daily basis is the fact that I have over 15,000 miles of distribution line and almost 5,000 miles of transmission line, literally for the northern half of Nevada. And they've given me 13 crews now. Five of them are here right in Carson City. That means for every place that I'm working now, there's another place that's not getting worked.
Gotcha.
And I have a minimum amount of budget. Now, if we start talking about putting in tree replacement, there goes my budget more.
Okay.
So the question comes up is, do you want to deal with the trees that are in contact with power lines, potentially causing fires, the reliability and the outage factor, or do you want trees? Not arguing that the trees aren't important, but I have to say that there is nowhere in this industry of utility arboriculture do trees and power lines exist happily unless it's an ornamental tree. So you can't compare a cottonwood that got established years and years ago, power lines went in. At that point, they didn't really care. They just wanted lights in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And then as this outage that occurred in 2003 that blacked out all of the East Coast, all of a sudden trees and power lines became a big issue. Right. You look back to the East now with that windstorm that came through and ripped out all the neighborhoods, you know, there's a big push again about trees. The tree is never a problem until it causes outages. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, wow, that tree caused an outage. Why weren't you there taking care of it? But prior to that, when we were there to try and prune it, we get all this resistance.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we've got to look at it in a cooperative effort. And I'm not saying that Carson City doesn't deserve trees. All I'm saying is that is it really the power company's responsibility to reforest that urban forest? It's not. It's got to be either the community itself or the city or some private entity that's going to come in afterwards. Yes, ma'am.
I just want you to know that every year you trim my trees back from the electrical.
Mm-hmm.
And they've always done a nice job. I just ask them to come when I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very cooperative, and they'll come and talk to you, and I think you do a very good job.
Thank you. The other thing I was going to mention, just up in Reno, and I looked at this just 2 days ago, along Moana Lane, there's a row of Siberian elms that were severely hammered back, the praying hands of trees. There's also a willow tree that was severely side-trimmed. This was done in the end of February, beginning of March. I drove by those 2 days ago, and I have 2 foot of resprout on those trees. The willow tree right now is 3 foot from the neutral, and we hammered that back almost 10 feet or
wow.
more. You look at the species that we have, those that I am hammering hard, and I won't apologize for hammering them hard, but I cannot hold them. And Ms. Brewer, you mentioned coming back annually. We can't afford to do that. We're on a 4-year trim cycle. So if you look at these trees that are theoretically cycle busters, and our cycle is 4 years, and I'm getting 2 foot of resprout in 6 months,
ouch,
and a drought year, give me a wet season, and I'm going to have 6 to 10 foot of resprout in a season. How am I supposed to get through all 500 circuits in that length of time? It's not going to happen.
Right.
So at some point, there's a breaking point where you literally are going to break the back, and we can't keep up, which is really what I'm faced with now. I'm a year and a half behind.
I'm not sure if you come every year, but anyway, you come periodically, and you do a good job.
Thank you. And it may be, Kyle, that with this supposed negative press that has come out, and I know we had some in Minden-Gardnerville, we've got some now in Reno, you know, it may change management's perspective, and they may say, we're going to go to a 2-year cycle, and we're going to give you $5 million more dollars. I don't know what that will be.
Not
and obviously, the court of public opinion weighs heavy. But
based
on the criteria that we've been given to do the job that we've been asked to do, using industry standards, this is the best that we can get.
Did you have a comment, Jim?
Yeah, I did. Hi.
Hi.
Just to follow up, I really like this brochure.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had your guys come around to my house. And if this brochure was left at the time they come assess it and mark it with the blue mark, I think the homeowners would really appreciate that. I didn't get one of these. These are great. I like the fact that we're trying to educate the public, right tree, right place. I think that's something that the council's been aiming to do for a while.
Absolutely.
And I do support the efforts. You know, obviously, the replace program is something we all like the idea of. But in lieu of that, these are great, and this as well. I think educating the public and the homeowners with you guys distributing these, if these could go out at the time you walk the neighborhoods when you guys come around, this would stop a lot of bad publicity. This would answer so many questions.
And I have presented that as well. When I met with the executives and the vice presidents and we toured the area and presented our situation, it was brought up. Do we put out more literature at the time of notification? Is that going to make a difference? We had talked about bill stuffers. The fact that we're trying to get away from paper bills and do electronic, well, that wasn't going to work. And we looked at the website. We're looking at all alternatives. And I will say, too, I am proposing at this time that NV Energy look at a research study of trying to use tree growth regulators in combination with certain prolific sprouters. Obviously, that's in such early stage. I just proposed it to the boss, and he's like, that's a good idea. Try and run with that. So now I'm going to talk to UNR, see if there's a grad student willing to do a study. Can I get chemical companies that would work with us?
Well,
yeah, would property owners even be willing to do it?
I think aside from any waste of time on researching, just give these to your nice guys when they're walking around the neighborhood and leave these at the door. So many questions answered.
Maybe you could have it put in the water bill. They do that periodically about things.
Yeah, that would have to coordinate If we could coordinate between billing cycles when their water bills went out.
Right.
I've tried to do that even within the power company where you put literature out in the billing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, billing doesn't always coordinate with the circuit that I'm on. In other words, thank you. The other thing I was going to mention, just up in Reno, and I looked at this just 2 days ago, along Moana Lane, there's a row of Siberian elms that were severely hammered back, the praying hands of trees. There's also a willow tree that was severely side-trimmed. This was done in the end of February, beginning of March. I drove by those 2 days ago, and I have 2 foot of resprout on those trees. The willow tree right now is 3 foot from the neutral, and we hammered that back almost 10 feet or more. You look at the species that we have, those that I am hammering hard, and I won't apologize for hammering them hard, but I cannot hold them. And Ms. Brewer, you mentioned coming back annually. We can't afford to do that. We're on a 4-year trim cycle. So if you look at these trees that are theoretically cycle busters, and our cycle is 4 years, and I'm getting 2 foot of resprout in 6 months,
ouch,
and a drought year, give me a wet season. And I'm going to have 6 to 10 foot of resprout in a season. How am I supposed to get through all 500 circuits in that length of time? It's not going to happen.
Right.
So at some point, there's a breaking point where you literally are going to break the back, and we can't keep up, which is really what I'm faced with now. I'm a year and a half behind.
I'm not sure if you come every year. But anyway, you come periodically, and you do a good job.
Thank you. And it may be, Kyle, that with this supposed negative press that has come out, and I know we had some in Minden-Gardnerville, we've got some now in Reno, it may change management's perspective. And they may say, we're going to go to a 2-year cycle, and we're going to give you $5 million more dollars. I don't know what that will be.
Not
and obviously, the court of public opinion weighs heavy. But based on the criteria that we've been given to do the job that we've been asked to do, using industry standards, this is the best that we can get.
Did you have a comment, Jim?
Yeah, I did. Hi.
Hi.
Just to follow up, I really like this brochure.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had your guys come around to my house. And if this brochure was left at the time they come assess it and mark it with the blue mark, I think the homeowners would really appreciate that. I didn't get one of these. These are great. I like the fact that we're trying to educate the public, right tree, right place. I think that's something that the council's been aiming to do for a while.
Absolutely.
And I do support the efforts. You know, obviously, the replace program is something we all like the idea of. But in lieu of that, these are great. And this as well. I think educating the public and the homeowners with you guys distributing these, if these could go out at the time you walk the neighborhoods when you guys come around, this would stop a lot of bad publicity. This would answer so many questions.
And I have presented that as well. When I met with the executives and the vice presidents and we toured the area and presented our situation, it was brought up. Do we put out more literature at the time of notification? Is that going to make a difference? We had talked about bill stuffers. The fact that we're trying to get away from paper bills and do electronic, well, that wasn't going to work. And we looked at the website. We're looking at all alternatives. And I will say, too, I am proposing at this time that NV Energy look at a research study of trying to use tree growth regulators in combination with certain prolific sprouters. Obviously, that's in such early stage. I just proposed it to the boss, and he's like, that's a good idea. Try and run with that. So now I'm going to talk to UNR, see if there's a grad student willing to do a study. Can I get chemical companies that would work with us?
Well,
I
think aside from any waste of time on researching, just give these to your nice guys when they're walking around the neighborhood and leave these at the door. So many questions answered.
Okay.
Maybe you could have it put in the water bill. They do that periodically about things.
Yeah, that would have to coordinate If we could coordinate between billing cycles when their water bills went out.
Right.
I've tried to do that even within the power company where you put literature out in the billing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, billing doesn't always coordinate with the circuit that I'm on. In other words, they don't bill a whole circuit at one time. They're going to bill, it could be 2-3 circuits actually affected. So oftentimes that the way the mailings go out.
Well, it'd be general information
could
for
be.
The
yes.
public.
Yes. And I would agree, Ms. Shirk, that doing that would be an extra effort and probably worthwhile. And that is one that I'm hoping I can get the support to do that. Okay. Usually we use that literature in the scenario of a refusal or maybe somebody who's really just has concerns. And we present that and go, here.
I think you got to put the cart before the horse on this one and get it out there because this is great.
Okay.
I've got two things, and that closes everything that I need. So just a time frame thing. In regards to the market research and the survey, would it be beneficial to you if the Shade Tree Council or the Friends of the Urban Forest, through their social media and websites, put up survey questionnaires? Just, you know, if you've got a comment about NV Energy and their program, let us know. And then that would kind of keep maybe a lot of people coming to you guys, and we would be the liaison, but we would be the ones doing kind of the research and asking the questions in the community for nothing specific, just more feedback. Do you have a story, whether it be good or bad? Because, I mean, Carol's story is just as important as somebody who has a complaint, you know? And just the nice thing is through talking to you, you speak well and you ease people's minds. Like you just educated us, you educated me, and I'm not worried about it anymore, you know? So I think, like you said, you going out there and talking to people is going to be a huge thing, getting information out there, sharing that out there. But even, you know, utilizing us to ask the questions out in the community and to get some of that feedback because, you know, it would just be good to know.
In answer to your question or at least statement, as my role with NV Energy, I am the vegetation management administrator, and I'll emphasize administrator. I'm given certain tools. Here's your budget. Here's how many crews you can have. Go have fun with it. Where it draws the line is I don't really have any input. I have input as far as the scope of work, as far as the contractor. Once it goes out to bid, that's the contractor I have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to corporate communications, the message that goes out, that you just spoke of, using liaisons, working with communities, that's got to come from our external affairs. That's got to come from corporate communications.
Okay.
And I in our meetings with them, have emphasized that shotgun approach, which shotgun approach to me is TV, radio, community service, community action, coalitions, working in that. I mean, if you just look at the amount of money that was spent on the smart meter campaign, if I had a fraction of that,
you could have reforced Carson City.
I mean, it would be amazing. But, and I even told them, I said, vegetation is in the face of our customers more than anybody else. When the linemen show up, they're the heroes restoring power.
Right.
When the vegetation guys show up, although just as necessary,
right,
we get a lot of negativity. Issues.
Those are the bad guys.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's why it'd be good if we could help get some good stuff out there, too.
I would say if we were going to approach that, which I would support,
mm-hmm.
it's got to come from you making that request to corporate communications. And I would, like I said, Faye Anderson and Linda Bissett, I can give you those in an email.
Okay.
Give you those contacts.
Okay.
I would say that's the better way to do it.
Okay.
And I've told them that they can't just look at maybe an influential community or a high-dollar community. You have to look at everybody from the wealthiest person on your system to the retired 80-year-old, you know, widow who has a fixed income that's at the end of the tap.
Yeah, and they can't even afford to have their trees trimmed.
So we have to mutually treat everybody equally
right. In
this process. And I can't make exception to this person and not make exception to that person right. Over here. So we have to be consistent. and so on and so forth. But I would say that would be our best bet.
Okay. Well, I know we can't make an action on it right now because this is just for discussion, but that might be something that we might consider on a future agenda item, doing a citizen survey. The final thing, and I'm going to have to close out there because we could talk about this for days. You talked at our Fall Tree Care Seminar last year for like a second. You came in. Could you do something like that again and talk about what you've been doing with the Curry substations and just
build a whole circuit at one time? They're going to build, it could be 2-3 circuits actually affected. So oftentimes that the way the mailings go out.
Well, it'd be general information
could
for
be.
The
yes.
public.
Yes. And I would agree, Shirk, that doing that would be an extra effort and probably worthwhile. And that is one that I'm hoping I can get the support to do that. Usually we use that literature in the scenario of a refusal or maybe somebody who's really just has concerns, and we present that and go here.
I think you got to put the cart before the horse on this one and get it out there because this is great.
Okay.
I've got two things, and that closes everything that I need, so just a time frame thing. In regards to the market research and the survey, would it be beneficial to you if the Shade Tree Council or the Friends of the Urban Forest through their social media and websites put up survey questionnaires? Just, you know, if you've got a comment about NV Energy and their program, let us know. And then that would kind of keep maybe a lot of people coming to you guys, and we would be the liaison, but we would be the ones doing kind of the research and asking the questions in the community for nothing specific, just more feedback. Do you have a story, whether it be good or bad? Because, I mean, Carol... story is just as important as somebody who has a complaint, you know. And just the nice thing is through talking to you, you speak well and you ease people's minds. Like you just educated us, you educated me, and I'm not worried about it anymore, you know. So I think, like you said, you going out there and talking to people is going to be a huge thing. Getting information out there, sharing that out there, but even, you know, utilizing us to ask the questions out in the community and to get some of that feedback, because, you know, it would just be good to know.
In answer to your question, or at least statement, as my role with NV Energy, I am the vegetation management administrator, and I'll emphasize administrator. I'm given certain tools. Here's your budget. Here's how many crews you can have. Go have fun with it. Where it draws the line is I don't really have any input. I have input as far as the scope of work, as far as the contractor. Once it goes out to bid, that's the contractor I have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to corporate communications, the message that goes out, that you just spoke of, using liaisons, working with communities, that's got to come from our external affairs. That's got to come from corporate communications.
Okay.
And I in our meetings with them, have emphasized that shotgun approach to me is TV, radio, community service, community action, coalitions, working in that. I mean, if you just look at the amount of money that was spent on the smart meter campaign, if I had a fraction of that,
you could have reforced Carson City.
I mean, it would be amazing. But, and I even told them, I said, vegetation is in the face of our customers more than anybody else. When the linemen show up, they're the heroes restoring power.
Right.
When the vegetation guys show up, although just as necessary,
right,
we get a lot of negative issues.
Those are the bad guys.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's why it'd be good if we could help get some good stuff out there,
I would
there
say
too,
if we were going to approach that, which I would support,
mm-hmm.
it's got to come from you making that request to corporate communications. And I would, like I said, Faye Anderson and Linda Bissett, I can give you those in an email.
Okay.
Give you those contacts.
Okay.
I would say that's the better way to do it.
Okay.
And I've told them that they can't just look at maybe an influential community or a high-dollar community. You have to look at everybody from the wealthiest person on your system to the retired 80-year-old, you know, widow who has a fixed income that's at the end of the tap.
Yeah, and they can't even afford to have their trees trimmed.
So we have to mutually treat everybody equally in this process. And I can't make exception to this person and not make exception to that person over here. So we have to be consistent and so on and so forth. But I would say that would be our best bet.
Okay. Well, I know we can't make an action on it right now because this is just for discussion, but that might be something that we might consider on a future agenda item, doing a citizen survey. The final thing, and I'm going to have to close out there because we could talk about this for days. You talked at our Fall Tree Care Seminar last year for like a second. You came in. Could you do something like that again and talk about what you've been doing with the Curry substations and just, you know, educate the tree care specialists, because that would
huge. We had a meeting. We invited all the tree companies, private tree companies, earlier this year. Or was it end of last year? Could have been end of last year, beginning of this year. But we invited them all to our general office building in Reno, put on a day-long presentation of tree and wire, tree and utility conflict issues, safety, the whole shebang. What to do if you come across a tree, how do you do a contractor assist? And literally, we invited everybody that we could think of in this area, between Carson, Reno, and even somewhat outside that. So, yes, any opportunity we can to talk to the local professionals as well.
I'll be in contact with that and the date and the time and everything. And we'll just coordinate so it's convenient and you're around and stuff.
Be happy to.
Mark, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Tough topic. Tough topic. You handled it awesome. Thank you for easing everyone's minds.
I'm going to leave you my card, even though I signed it.
All right. Feel free to take a donut, guys. Okay, so we're going to move on, and the rest of these should be a little bit more cut and dry. Is there any citizen comments in regards to this topic? All right. So now we're going to move on to agenda item 3B. Which is to reconfirm liaison duties. The only reason that I wanted this back on there was because Tom is no longer with us. But really, it was just more to verbally confirm that Gianna and Ray volunteered to handle any kind of communication, web, or print issues. Education was Ray and Terry Ozawa, which is awesome. And hopefully we can start thinking about the Tree Care Seminar game.
Awesome.
City liaison and public relations, Carol and Roy, which leaves fundraising and grants open. So we are looking. We have an open seat. We're looking. That's the need that we have to fill. So keep your eyes open for anybody that would qualify. Is there any citizen comments or any word? Anybody want to comment on that? Awesome. Okay. Cool. You're off the hook so far of doing anything. Just now that we know what we're all labeled for. No citizen comments, so agenda item 3C, to determine fall tree care seminar speakers, presentations, and topics, as well as council members' duties. So the game we got is Terry. We'll have Mark coming. I've not confirmed with Dink about the soils.
And the young man?
Ray.
Ray, he was going to contact the school.
Ray, so far one of our topics is going to be Mark and the tree pruning. One of our topics is going to be the greenhouse and the 30 fruit trees that the Friends of the Urban Forest are planting next spring. I would like to do soils, and that's why I'm asking Dink. But if he can't do it, Hungry Mother, the guy who does Hungry Mother, also has a soils degree. So that's what I'm working on right now. For security purposes, I'd really like to have at least one, maybe even two more speakers so that we're not asking our few speakers to talk for 2 hours, you know, but maybe we're asking more speakers to talk for less and that it can keep, you know, more people's eyes open. So does anybody have, I called Molly Sinnott and just requested if she know of anybody who's doing anything cool or if she is doing anything good or different since she's in the whole thing, to call me back and let me know. So that feeler is out there. But any ideas, any brainstorming stuff?
Yeah, Ray is responsible for the catering.
Ray, I am. I took that one under my wing. So I'm contacting her. Ray gave me her number. School's out, so obviously nobody's number. They're gonna wait till school gets back in. But yeah, no, I'm on that because I'm kind of the umbrella over all of these anyway. Right. So. Roy, do you know of anybody or any good topics that we should consider? What about water? Juan said that we're definitely going to have a water crisis come, Carson River cleanup day, and tree planting day. So is that something that tree care specialists need to consider, that we're in a heavy drought year? Or,
well, whenever you talk about vegetation management, water is always key.
Educate the tree care specialists, because that would be huge.
We had a meeting. We invited all the tree companies, private tree companies, earlier this year. Or was it end of last year? Could have been end of last year, beginning of this year. But we invited them all to our general office building in Reno, put on a day-long presentation of tree and wire, tree and utility conflict issues, safety, the whole shebang. What to do if you come across a tree, how do you do a contractor assist? And literally, we invited everybody that we could think of in this area, between Carson, Reno, and even somewhat outside that. Yes, any opportunity we can to talk to the local professionals as well.
I'll be in contact with that, and the date and the time and everything. And we'll just coordinate so it's convenient and you're around and stuff.
Be happy to.
Mark, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Tough topic. You handled it awesome. Thank you for easing everyone's minds.
I'm going to leave you my card, even though I signed it.
I'm having an allergy attack. My eyes are terrible.
You get your drops with you?
In my car.
All right. Feel free to take a donut, guys. Okay, so we're going to move on, and the rest of these should be a little bit more cut and dry.
Ask for public
comment. Is there any citizen comments in regards to this topic? All right. So now we're going to move on to agenda item 3B, which is to reconfirm liaison duties. The only reason that I wanted this back on there was because Tom is no longer with us. But really, it was just more to verbally confirm that Gianna and Ray volunteered to handle any kind of communication, web, or print issues. Education was Ray and Terry Ozawa, which is awesome, and hopefully we can start thinking about the tree care seminar game.
Awesome.
City liaison and public relations, Carol and Roy, which leaves fundraising and grants open. We have an open seat. We're looking. That's the need that we have to fill. So keep your eyes open for anybody that would qualify. Is there any citizen comments or anybody want to comment on that? Awesome. Okay, cool. You're off the hook so far of doing anything, just now that we know what we're all labeled for. No citizen comments. So agenda item 3C, to determine fall tree care seminar speakers, presentations, and topics, as well as council members' duties. So the game we got is Terry. We'll have Mark coming. I've not confirmed with Dink about the soils.
And the young man?
Ray,
he was going to contact the school.
Ray, so far, one of our topics is going to be Mark and the tree pruning. One of our topics is going to be the greenhouse and the 30 fruit trees that the Friends of the Urban Forest are planting next spring. I would like to do soils, and that's why I'm asking Dink. But if he can't do it, Hungry Mother, the guy who does Hungry Mother, also has a soils degree. So that's what I'm working on right now. For security purposes, I'd really like to have at least one, maybe even two more speakers, so that we're not asking our few speakers to talk for 2 hours, but maybe we're asking more speakers to talk for less, and it can keep, more people's eyes open. So does anybody have, I called Molly Sinnott and just requested if she know of anybody who's doing anything cool, or if she is doing anything good or different, since she's in the whole thing, to call me back and let me know. So that feeler is out there. But any ideas, any brainstorming stuff?
Yeah, Ray is responsible for the catering.
Ray, I am. I took that one under my wing. So I'm contacting her. Ray gave me her number. School's out, so obviously nobody's number. Wait till school gets back in. But yeah, no, I'm on that, because I'm kind of the umbrella over all of these anyway. Right. So, Roy, do you know of anybody or any good topics that we should consider?
I think you got them all covered.
What about water? Juan said that we're definitely going to have a water crisis come, Carson River cleanup day, and tree planting day. So is that something that tree care specialists need to consider, that we're in a heavy drought year, or?
Well, whenever you talk about vegetation management, water is always a key issue. So I think water would be a great topic. There may be professionals at the University of Nevada, Reno, that may, be contacted to talk about water or climate, something of that nature.
What about cooperative extension?
Cooperative extension is another really good source.
Would that be the hub to go to and ask them? And they would know.
Cooperative extension would be a good place to begin. That's an excellent suggestion.
Thank you. Okay, so water, dirt, trees, fruit trees, a game. Pruning and planting. Do we have to worry about that now?
I think you normally have an outdoor pruning pruning and planting exercise. They'll still need to be firmed up probably just a good place to start is look at your program from last year and look at the number of speakers you had and the time involved.
I've been cross-referencing that.
Yep.
Do we need to talk with the parks maintenance crew to find a tree that needs to be pruned, because it's kind of moved, from spot to spot as necessary?
Yeah, we could do that. Or I think in the past what we've done, when Tom Henderson's done the tree pruning, he's actually gone out in the park and
picked
a tree, sort of assessed it, and he's kind of selected the tree for the pruning. Then he has contacted us about that.
Okay.
I think always it's smart to have somebody who talks about planting trees in this area, in the proper location, and what does well here.
Okay.
To kind of follow up with that, I don't think you've had a topic in the last couple of years that have talked about maybe new varieties of trees or appropriate trees for, Western Nevada.
Yeah,
Northern
that's
Nevada.
Always a good time.
And, there might be a nurseryman or, again, cooperative extension may be able to provide some guidance in lining up a speaker for that topic. But I think that'd be an interesting topic for people to, for your professionals, because there may be new varieties of trees out there in the horizon that they're not aware of.
Right. All right, can anybody think of anything else that we might need to? Okay, cool. Cool. Well, I'll talk to the cooperative extension. We'll fill in the spots, and I see Tom often, so we'll get that. Tree planting. We usually plant a tree. Do we want to discuss that right now? Do we want to buy it? Is it usually an evergreen? I know last year it was an evergreen, was it not?
Yeah,
it's not always the same kind of tree.
Yeah, okay. It varies, and we can handle that part of it as far as selecting a tree and having and selecting the location for the planting.
If we were talking about new varieties of trees for Carson City, could we consider one of those new varieties?
Sure.
Make that be the beginning of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. I think it's a good idea. We can tie that all in.
I might be able to line up a speaker for you for the tree planting portion of it, too.
Oh, great.
Okay. Perfect, Roger.
I'll look into that for you.
I won't fight you. Okay, is there any citizen comments or board comments on it, for that matter? Okay, perfect. Moving on to agenda item 3D, regarding whether the council should adopt a landmark tree program. I guess the big question on the board is if we adopt a landmark tree program, what does it do? What do we do with it? What does it accomplish? Is it just for highlighting purposes? Do we put them up on our website when that eventually gets up and running, or do we utilize them in regards to, say, protecting them within the community? If Mark comes next year and one of our trees are a landmark tree. Well, that's what I'm wondering, because I've been on this board for 3 years and we've talked about it for 3 years, and I'm wondering if we should scrap it or keep beating a dead horse. Okay, can we make a motion then to stop pursuing the landmark tree program, if everybody's cool with that?
I would like to move that we suspend speaking about the landmark tree program and move on to other more pertinent subjects.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. It is adopted. So we are no longer dealing with landmark trees. Any citizen comments? 3E, regarding a fundraising plan for opportunities for a citywide street tree inventory. Unless somebody's got something really good on this one, since Tom's not here, I think we should probably push this one on to the next meeting. You know, again, unless somebody has something to contribute. And then F, regarding, or citizen comments, sorry.
So I think water would be a great topic. There may be professionals at the University of Nevada, Reno, that may, you know, be contacted to talk about water or climate, you know, something of that nature.
What about cooperative extension?
Cooperative extension is another really good source.
Would that be the hub to go to and ask them? And they would know.
Cooperative extension would be a good place to begin. That's an excellent suggestion.
Thank you. Okay, so water, dirt, trees, fruit trees, a game, pruning and planting. Do we have to worry about that now?
I think you normally have an outdoor pruning pruning and planting exercise. They'll still need to be firmed up, and probably just a good place to start is look at your program from last year and look at the number of speakers you had and the time involved.
I've been cross-referencing that.
Yep.
Do we need to talk with the parks maintenance crew to find a tree that needs to be pruned? Because it's kind of moved, you know, from spot to spot as necessary.
Yeah, we could do that. Or I think in the past what we've done, when Tom Henderson's done the tree pruning, he's actually gone out in the park and
picked
a tree, sort of assessed it, and he's kind of selected the tree for the pruning. Then he has contacted us about that.
Okay.
Well, I think always it's smart to have somebody who talks about planting trees in this area, in the proper location, and what does well here.
Okay.
You know, to kind of follow up with that, I don't think you've had a topic in the last couple of years that have talked about maybe new varieties of trees or appropriate trees for, you know, Western Nevada, Northern
Nevada.
Yeah,
I think that's always a good time.
And, you know, there might be a nurseryman or, again, cooperative extension may be able to provide some guidance in lining up a speaker for that topic. But I think that'd be an interesting topic for people to, you know, for your professionals, because there may be new varieties of trees out there in the horizon that they're not aware of.
Right. All right, can anybody think of anything else that we might need to? Okay, cool. Cool. Well, I'll talk to the cooperative extension. We'll fill in the spots, and I see Tom often, so we'll get that. Tree planting. We usually plant a tree. Do we want to discuss that right now? Do we want to buy it? Is it usually an evergreen? I know last year it was an evergreen, was it not?
Yeah,
it's not always the same kind of tree.
Yeah, okay. It varies, and you know, we can handle that part of it as far as selecting a tree and having and selecting the location for the planting.
If we were talking about new varieties of trees for Carson City, could we consider one of those new varieties?
Sure.
You know, and make that be the beginning of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. I think it's a good idea. We can tie that all in.
I might be able to line up a speaker for you for the tree planting portion of it, too.
Oh, great.
Okay. Perfect, Roger.
I'll look into that for you.
I won't fight you. Okay, is there any citizen comments or board comments on it, for that matter? Okay, perfect. Moving on to agenda item 3D, regarding whether the council should adopt a landmark tree program. I guess the big question on the board is if we adopt a landmark tree program, what does it do? What do we do with it? What does it accomplish? Is it just for highlighting purposes? You know, do we put them up on our website when that eventually gets up and running, or do we utilize them in regards to, say, protecting them within the community? You know, if Mark comes next year and one of our trees are a landmark tree. Well, that's what I'm wondering, because I've been on this board for 3 years and we've talked about it for 3 years, and I'm wondering if we should scrap it or keep beating a dead horse. Okay, can we make a motion then to stop pursuing the landmark tree program, if everybody's cool with that?
I would like to move that we suspend speaking about the landmark tree program and move on to other more pertinent subjects.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, it is adopted. So we are no longer dealing with landmark trees. Any citizen comments? 3E, regarding a fundraising plan for opportunities for a citywide street tree inventory. Unless somebody's got something really good on this one, since Tom's not here, I think we should probably push this one on to the next meeting. You know, again, unless somebody has something to contribute. And then F, regarding, or citizen comments, sorry, agenda item 3F, regarding the developing and recommending a tree replanting program on city-owned properties in Carson City. And essentially what this boils down to is do we want to adopt and endorse in front of the Board of Supervisors a replanting program for the city, whether it be the Friends of the Urban Forest idea or whether it be somebody else's idea or whether we come up with a whole other different thing. But in regards to, okay. Wait, did I miss something? Are we doing, this is the street tree program. So this isn't 3F, right? This is a tree replanting program on city owned properties. Mm-hmm. Okay. I just want to make sure I wasn't missing something. Anyway, the question is do we want to formally endorse a replanting program, again, whether it be the Friends of the Urban Forest or whether it be somebody else's program or something like that. If we do, there's going to be, you know, some funding involved that we're probably going to have to, you know, we're going to have to contribute somehow in regards to it. In my opinion, a replanting program is just as important, if not more important, especially since, you know, the conversation we had, you know, or at least as equal important as the tree inventory that we want to have. So,
well, with the economy like it is and the budgets like they are, I wonder if there'd be any money to even do that.
Okay.
I want to ask, whose responsibility is it normally on city-owned property to replace trees that have been lost? Whose responsibility is that?
Good question. Now, it depends on what you're talking about when you say city property. If you're thinking of city streets, right-of-ways, that has been the responsibility of the abutting property owner to replant, replace trees. And what I handed out to you was this little trifold brochure, Carson City Street Tree Program, which is a program that has been suspended since our last round of budget cuts back in about, 2008, 2009. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to hand that out to you because I know some of you have been on the Tree Council for quite a while and are probably familiar with this program. Others are newer and may not really be aware or forgotten about the program. But this is a program that I would say it's currently a program that we still have, but it's in a suspended animation at this point because of budget cuts. And I want to explain this program a little bit to you. Just take a minute. But this is a program that is funded through our quality of life program, our question one or question 18 funds. A certain amount of money had been set aside annually to fund this project. It's been a rather small amount of money, maybe $10,000-$15,000 a year.
Much.
But the way the program works is that we advertise twice a year. Yes, Terry? Do you have a question?
No, I was just trying to hear what you were saying.
Oh, we advertise twice a year in the spring and in the fall when the program was going on. And basically advertise in the paper. We have these handouts for the public. And we have a tree order form. And members of the public can fill out the tree order form, submit it to the city. They have a selection of what kind of tree they'd like to have. And again, this is for planting in the right-of-ways, street right-of-ways. And then the public, the homeowner would purchase a tree. The city would pay for the planting of that tree. And also for, you know, for some follow-up care for the next couple of years after that tree's planted. One of the reasons that this program has been suspended is when we went through our round of budget cuts, unfortunately, one of the cuts we had to make was eliminating our contract with our contracting arborist, which was Molly Sinnott. And the contracting arborist played a very important role in this in that they would go out and inspect the planting site, determine whether it was within the city right-of-way or not, because sometimes there's some confusion of where that city right-of-way really is. Generally, it's inside the sidewalk or just outside the sidewalk from the sidewalk to the street in that kind of boulevard planting area. But sometimes the right-of-way extends in some cases almost up to an individual's, you know, front doorstep. Just kind of depends on the street.
Yeah.
You know, a fairly successful program in a very minor way. The available funds that we had, which were very, very few funds this year, were used.
Agenda item 3F, regarding the developing and recommending a tree replanting program on city-owned properties in Carson City. And essentially what this boils down to is do we want to adopt and endorse in front of the Board of Supervisors a replanting program for the city, whether it be the Friends of the Urban Forest idea or whether it be somebody else's idea or whether we come up with a whole other different thing. But in regards to... Okay. Wait, did I miss something? Are we doing... This is the street tree program. So this isn't 3F, right? This is a tree replanting program on city-owned properties. Mm-hmm. Okay. I just want to make sure I wasn't missing something. Anyway, the question is do we want to formally endorse a replanting program, again, whether it be the Friends of the Urban Forest or whether it be somebody else's program or something like that? If we do, there's going to be, you know, some funding involved that we're probably going to have to, you know, we're going to have to contribute somehow in regards to it. In my opinion, a replanting program is just as important, if not more important, especially since, you know, the conversation we had, you know, or at least is equal important as the tree inventory that we want to have. So,
well, with the economy like it is and the budgets like they are, I wonder if there'd be any money to even do that.
Okay.
I want to ask, whose responsibility is it normally on city-owned property to replace trees that have been lost? Whose responsibility is that?
Good question. Now, it depends on what you're talking about when you say city property. If you're thinking of city streets, right-of-ways, that has been the responsibility of the abutting property owner to replant, replace trees. And what I handed out to you was this little trifold brochure, Carson City Street Tree Program, which is a program that has been suspended since our last round of budget cuts back in about, 2008, 2009. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to hand that out to you because I know some of you have been on the Tree Council for quite a while and are probably familiar with this program. Others are newer and may not really be aware or forgotten about the program. But this is a program that I would say it's currently a program that we still have, but it's in a suspended animation at this point because of budget cuts. And I want to explain this program a little bit to you. Just take a minute. But this is a program that is funded through our quality of life program, our question one or question 18 funds. A certain amount of money had been set aside annually to fund this project. It's been a rather small amount of money, maybe $10,000-$15,000 a year.
Much.
But the way the program works is that we advertise twice a year. Yes, Terry? Do you have a question?
No, I was just trying to hear what you were saying.
Oh, we advertise twice a year in the spring and in the fall when the program was going on. And basically advertise in the paper. We have these handouts for the public. And we have a tree order form. And members of the public can fill out the tree order form, submit it to the city. They have a selection of what kind of tree they'd like to have. And again, this is for planting in the right-of-ways, street right-of-ways. And the public, the homeowner would purchase a tree. The city would pay for the planting of that tree. And also for, you know, for some follow-up care for the next couple of years after that tree's planted. One of the reasons that this program has been suspended is when we went through our round of budget cuts. Unfortunately, one of the cuts we had to make was eliminating our contract with our contracting arborist, which was Molly Sinnott. And the contracting arborist played a very important role in this in that they would go out and inspect the planting site, determine whether it was within the city right-of-way or not, because sometimes there's some confusion of where that city right-of-way really is. generally it's inside the sidewalk or just outside the sidewalk from the sidewalk to the street in that kind of boulevard planting area. But sometimes the right-of-way extends in some cases almost up to an individual's, you know, front doorstep. Just kind of depends on the street.
Yeah.
You know, a fairly successful program in a very minor way. The available funds that we had, which were very, very few funds this year, were using to basically landscape the front of the community center here. Mm-hmm. Because it's really been termed as a street tree and city beautification project. We intend that someday we'd like to resurrect this program, and it probably won't be resurrected until our budget's been restored enough that we can start replacing some of the reductions that we've had in our budget that we had to experience. And we hope that will, you know, will happen here within the next couple of years. But this is just one idea of how a tree planting program can work. Now, there can be other tree planting programs that basically require very little capital involvement by the city or by the organization sponsoring, and that is more through an education process, encouragement process, working with the local nurseries and trying to encourage people, maybe even provide some kind of discounts if they plant trees along city streets. So there's a wide range of avenues that you folks can take a look at and make recommendations to the board on how you'd like to operate this. Kyle did and I know this is another session coming up, but Kyle did an outstanding job, I thought, at the last Board of Supervisors meetings, talking to the Board of Supervisors, and he was very, I would say, eloquent in the way that he talked about how the urban forest that we have today in the city was really here because it's created by our predecessors. And if we don't restore and replant and replace that urban forest over the years, as you folks were just talking about with Mark here, that's going to deteriorate and eventually disappear. So it's important that there is some type of an emphasis on replanting and replacing that urban forest. The secret is going to be, how do we do that in the most cost-effective manner, you know, at this point in time? And go ahead, Kyle.
The cost of the tree, like how, I think it was like $250 was what it was, because when I moved here, I was looking into that program.
Somewhere in that $250 to $300. I think it may have depended a little bit
on
the variety.
What percentage was like the cost that you were getting the tree for versus the cost for Molly and all the consultation versus the cost of, you know, actually going and digging the dirt and paying those people's salaries?
Well, you know, that there was no direct relationship between those costs, because what we had with Molly, we worked with Molly on a contractual basis. Mm-hmm. And so that was really kind of a separate budget line item from the tree planting program. And it was part of our contractual services budget. And it wasn't really the only thing that we contracted with her. Okay. You know, we contracted with her for a variety of different tree issues. And so I don't think we really have an itemization of how much of that actually was assigned really to the tree.
Because I know it was like a citizen and homeowner when I was looking at this. It was kind of comparable to me just going down to the nursery and borderline more expensive at some point, so going down the nursery and buying a tree a comparable size and putting it in myself. So I was wondering, you know, what could this program eliminate cost-wise to bring that down to make it more comparable to the homeowner doing it? Because I like this program. You know, I almost forgot about this, you know, when you brought it back up again. And if we could diversify the options on it, the amount of trees that you put in, and lower the cost a little bit somehow, I almost wonder if the Shade Tree Council couldn't be the brokers of the program, because really there's no financial investment on our part or your part. It's, you know, we've got this opportunity for you, and if you want it, put the money down and it'll happen. So that might be something we, you know, being the brokers of this program, making it, you know, cost effective and tight for the community, and then somehow again using our broad reach, you know, to get it out there in the community again. And that way we don't have to worry about raising money, you know, and that's because that's the hard part right now is raising the money.
Yeah, you know, and quite frankly, I think, you know, it's a point well taken, Kyle, that, you know, part of that cost was not only just the cost of the tree, but it also covered some of the cost of the planting. Mm-hmm. You know, the city actually did the planting, you know, of the tree for that $350 bucks that you, you know, they bought the tree for.
See, you know, I don't possibly have any property like that in front of my house that I could even buy a tree to put up.
Right. But even if we had donate a tree, you know, buy a tree through the street tree program, and we'll find an appropriate spot, you know, you might have the desire but not the property. And, okay. I don't know if there's an action completely necessary for this. Could we reword this and talk about adopting and reformatting the city street tree program and potentially being the brokers of that?
What we could do is, Kyle, maybe if you would meet with myself and our staff, basically landscape the front of the community center here. Mm-hmm. Because it's really been termed as a street tree and city beautification project. But anyhow, we intend that someday we'd like to resurrect this program. And yeah. It probably won't be resurrected until our budget's been restored enough that we can start replacing some of the reductions that we've had in our budget that we had to experience. And we hope that will, you know, will happen here within the next couple of years. But this is just one idea of how a tree planting program can work. Now, there can be other tree planting programs that basically require very little capital involvement by the city or by the organization sponsoring, and that is more through an education process, encouragement process, working with the local nurseries and trying to encourage people, maybe even provide some kind of discounts if they plant trees along city streets. So there's a wide range of avenues that you folks can take a look at and make recommendations to the board on how you'd like to operate this. Kyle did it, and I know this is another session coming up, but Kyle did an outstanding job, I thought, at the last Board of Supervisors meetings, talking to the Board of Supervisors, and he was very, I would say, eloquent in the way that he talked about how the urban forest that we have today in the city was really here because it's created by our predecessors. And if we don't restore and replant and replace that urban forest over the years, as you folks were just talking about with Mark here, that's going to deteriorate and eventually disappear. So it's important that there is some type of an emphasis on replanting and replacing that urban forest. The secret is going to be, how do we do that in the most cost-effective manner, you know, at this point in time? And go ahead, Kyle.
The cost of the tree, like how, I think it was like $250 was what it was, because when I moved here, I was looking into that program.
Somewhere in that $250 to $300. I think it may have depended a little bit
on
the variety.
What percentage was like the cost that you were getting the tree for versus the cost for Molly and all the consultation versus the cost of, you know, actually going and digging dirt and paying those people's salaries?
Well, you know, that there was no direct relationship between those costs, because what we had with Molly, we worked with Molly on a contractual basis. Mm-hmm. And so that was really kind of a separate budget line item from the tree planting program, and it was part of our contractual services budget, and it wasn't really the only thing that we contracted with her. Okay. You know, we contracted with her for a variety of different tree issues, and so I don't think we really have an itemization of how much of that actually was assigned really to the tree.
Because I know it was like a citizen and homeowner when I was looking at this. It was kind of comparable to me just going down to the nursery and borderline more expensive at some point, so going down the nursery and buying a tree a comparable size and putting it in myself. So I was wondering, you know, what could this program eliminate cost wise to bring that down to make it more comparable to the homeowner doing it? Because I like this program, you know, I almost forgot about this, you know, when you brought it back up again. And if we could diversify the options on it, the amount of trees that you put in, and lower the cost a little bit somehow. I almost wonder if the Shade Tree Council couldn't be the brokers of the program, because really there's no financial investment on our part or your part. It's, you know, we've got this opportunity for you, and if you want it, put the money down and it'll happen. So that might be something we, you know, being the brokers of this program, making it, you know, cost effective and tight for the community, and then somehow again using our broad reach, you know, to get it out there in the community again. And that way we don't have to worry about raising money, you know, and that's because that's the hard part right now is raising the money.
Yeah, you know, and quite frankly, I think, you know, it's a point well taken, Kyle, that, you know, part of that cost was not only just the cost of the tree, but it also covered some of the cost of the planting. Mm-hmm. You know, the city actually did the planting, you know, of the tree for that $350 bucks that you, you know, they bought the tree for.
See, you know, I don't possibly have any property like that in front of my house that I could even buy a tree to put in.
Right. But even if we had donate a tree, you know, buy a tree through the street tree program, and we'll find an appropriate spot. You know, you might have the desire, but not the property. And, okay. I don't know if there's an action completely necessary for this. Could we reword this and talk about adopting and reformatting the city street tree program, and potentially being the brokers of that?
What we could do is, Kyle, maybe if you would meet with myself and our staff, particularly probably primarily Scott Farron, but maybe we could sit down and kick around and brainstorm some ideas of a similar or amended street tree planning program that may have reduced cost and also reduced costs to the city. And maybe we could kick around some ideas and we can bring that back at another meeting.
Cool, because I know 10,000 is not a lot, but it can buy a lot of trees, mm-hmm. you know. So if we've got it, we should support it. Okay, so we're gonna push that one on to the next. Any citizen comments on that? Moving on to non-action items 4A, discussion only on the status of the Shade Tree Council's current website and whether it needs to be revised. We've talked about it. We want it. Is it going to happen anytime soon? This meeting with the IT guy.
Yeah, I think he's willing to meet with us anytime, and that's probably actually my fault for not contacting him and having him. But I will definitely put down on my list of things to do. And we'll
there was a couple times when he just couldn't make it. There was something that happened.
Yeah,
he wasn't able to come. But
yeah.
You know,
he's very willing to meet with folks again. So I'll give Mr. Wilkinson
a call. And even if that would be more convenient to do a one-on-one where I went in, because we did that outline, then it was presented to everybody, kind of at the order of the website and stuff like that. So, you know, whatever's more convenient for him. I don't want to be a thorn in his side, but I definitely want our website to be more contemporary and updated.
Well, and I think, you know, he has talked to you folks in the past, and they're willing to do just about anything on that website within legal bounds that they can do for you. But they do have concerns about maintaining that website. And if you want to make a lot of changes to it, they're probably going to insist that somebody on the Shade Tree Council becomes trained so that they can update it and make changes to it. The other thing that you may want to consider is we may want to consider having some information from the Shade Tree Council on the city's Facebook page as well. And that might, you know, that might be another avenue we may want to look at.
Are we allowed to have a Facebook page?
You're not allowed to have one, but you can be on the city's Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's nothing stopping for the Friends of Urban
right. Yeah,
Forest
no,
to
yeah,
have
yeah,
a
totally.
Facebook.
Okay, good. I felt like I had something, but oh well. Must not have been important.
I don't remember offhand. Did we have a list of concerns or desires that we wanted John to look at?
It would
be helpful for you.
It was more from what I remember. It was taking the information that we had on the website, reorganizing it in a more, you know, like a kind of a better manner to navigate it.
Okay.
And then it was more of a rearranging. And if anything were going to be added to it, it would be more links and videos that would be, you know, static in nature. They wouldn't be changing often. So it would be, you know, the video of the tree care seminar or the video of the tree walk or something where mm-hmm. we could post. I remember when Jans was here, he was wanting to go a little bit bigger mm-hmm. with it and take it, you know, under his wing. But I think if we keep it as simple as possible and just keep it informative,
okay.
there won't be a whole lot of updating or anything going on to it.
Okay. And Jans is gone for 2 months at a time.
Right, right.
Or he probably donates some time.
Okay, so any citizens' comments on that? Non-action item 4B, discussion only regarding the chairman's presentation of the Shade Tree Council's goals to the Board of Supervisors. Thanks for saying I did a good job. I walked out of there being like, oh my God, what did I say? How did I look? And I appreciate you coming in at the end and talking the financial part about it too, because you know that that's what they listen to, and I actually saw two people actually pick their heads up and look when you started talking about finances. So I appreciate that. But I think it went good. I think our goals had an impact. You know, there was eye contact. There was, you know, positive head nods, and really they're extremely busy. So to get that, I felt was an accomplishment. I don't know at the very end though, when we started talking about the replanning program, where that ended and where their view of adopting a replanning program stands in regards to, you know, the trees and stuff like that. So I guess that's where I was left when I was in it. So what did they actually think about a replanting program? But that will be more for us to present in the future and everything like that. So anything that you thought, you know, I could have done better or next time?
I thought you were very well prepared. I thought it went extremely well. You know, part of that feeling of walking out of there, not knowing if they, you know, what they were thinking is due to the fact that they really couldn't take action on the item.
Right.
You know, it wasn't agendized as an action item, more informational. And you're exactly right. Probably primarily Scott Fairman, but maybe we could sit down and kick around and brainstorm some ideas of
okay.
a similar or amended street tree planting program that may have reduced cost and also reduced costs to the city. And maybe we can kick around some ideas and we can bring that back at another meeting.
Cool. Because I know 10,000 is not a lot, but it can buy a lot of trees, mm-hmm. you know, so if we've got it, we should support it. Okay, so we're gonna push that one on to the next. Any citizen comments on that? Moving on to non-action items 4A, discussion only on the status of the Shade Tree Council's current website and whether it needs to be revised. We've talked about it. We want it. Is it going to happen anytime soon, this meeting with the IT guy?
Yeah, I think he's willing to meet with us anytime. And,
okay.
and that's probably actually my fault for not contacting him and having him. But I will definitely put down on my list of things to do. And we'll
there was a couple times where he just couldn't make it. There was something that happened.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't able to come. But,
yeah.
you know.
He's very willing to meet with
cool.
folks again. So cool. I'll give Mr. Wilkinson
a call. And even if that would be more convenient to do a one-on-one where I went in. Because we did that outline, then it was presented to everybody kind of at the order of the website and stuff like that. So, you know, whatever's more convenient for him. I don't want to be a thorn in his side, but I definitely want our website to be more contemporary and updated.
Well, and I think, you know, he has talked to you folks in the past, and
yeah.
and they're willing to do just about anything on that website within legal bounds that they
okay.
can do for you. But they do have concerns about maintaining that website. And if you want to make a lot of changes to it, they're probably going to insist that somebody on the Shade Tree Council becomes trained so that they can update it and make changes to it. The other thing that you may want to consider is we may want to consider having some information from the Shade Tree Council on the city's Facebook page as well. And that might, you know, that might be another avenue we may want to look at.
Are we allowed to have a Facebook page?
You're not allowed to have
okay.
one, but you can be on the city's Facebook.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And
now there's nothing stopping for the Friends of Urban
right. yeah,
Forest
no,
to
yeah,
have
yeah, totally.
Facebook.
Okay, good. I felt like I had something, but oh well. Must not have been important.
I don't remember offhand. Did we have a list of concerns or desires that we wanted John to look at?
It would
be helpful for you.
It was more from what I remember. It was taking the information that we had on the website, reorganizing it in a more, you know, like a kind of a better manner to navigate it.
Okay.
And then it was more of a rearranging. And if anything were going to be added to it, it would be more links and videos that would be, you know, static in nature. They wouldn't be changing often. So it would be, you know, the video of the tree care seminar or the video of the tree walk or something where
mm-hmm.
we could post. I remember when Jans was here, he was wanting to go a little bit bigger
mm-hmm.
with it and take it, you know, under his wing. But I think if we keep it as simple as possible and just keep it informative,
okay.
there won't be a whole lot of updating or anything going on to it.
Okay.
And Jens was gone for 2 months at a time.
Right, right.
Or he probably donated some time.
Okay, so any citizens' comments on that? Non-action item 4B, discussion only regarding the chairman's presentation of the Shade Tree Council's goals to the Board of Supervisors. Thanks for saying I did a good job. I walked out of there being like, oh my God, what did I say? How did I look? And I appreciate you coming in at the end and talking the financial part about it too, because you know that that's what they listen to, and I actually saw two people actually pick their heads up and look when you started talking about finances. So I appreciate that. But I think it went good. I think our goals had an impact. You know, there was eye contact. There was, you know, positive head nods, and really, they're extremely busy. So to get that, I felt was an accomplishment. I don't know at the very end, though, when we started talking about the replanting program, where that ended and where their view of adopting a replanting program stands. in regards to, you know, the trees and stuff like that. So I guess that's where I was left when I was in it. So what did they actually think about a replanting program? But that will be more for us to present in the future and everything like that. So anything that you thought, you know, I could have done better or next time?
I thought you were very well prepared. I thought it went extremely well. You know, part of that feeling of walking out of there not knowing if they you know, what they were thinking is due to the fact that they really couldn't take action on the item.
Right.
You know, it wasn't agendized as an action item, more informational. And you're exactly right. As you bring recommendations to them now in the future, they're going to at least have a framework of what your goals are, what that presentation included. They can relate back to when you bring these recommendations. And of course, they're always concerned, you know, at this time about, you know, expenditure of funds, you know, and where the money's going to come from. But, you know, when you bring a recommendation such as a street tree planting program in the future to them, they'll have that reference anyways, that point of reference, and then they can decide, you know, whether they'll support it or not.
Okay. Well, cool. Thank you, Roger. Okay, we did item 4C, so we're skipping on that one. 4D is discussion and presentation on a tree inventory and plan for the tree plantings at the freeway interchanges and grade separations. And that will be done by Roger.
Those plans look beautiful, by the way.
Well, good. Thank you.
They really do.
It might be a little bit of overkill here, but we did include in your packet landscape drawings from our plans and specifications for the freeway landscape enhancement project. And it's divided up. You can look, just as an example, I know some of you may not be very experienced at looking at landscape drawings, construction drawings, but is everybody in their packet and have these drawings in front of them?
Just needed a magnifying glass to look at.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? Yeah. I'm finding that maybe I need to get a new prescription for my glasses because they're not as easily visible as it used to be. But if you look at the second page, and it would be in the lower right-hand corner, you can see sheet number L102.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just use that as an example. And then if you look up in the upper right-hand corner, there's a little box that says sheet key. Mm-hmm. And so the sheet you're looking at right here is sheet 102, and you can see that one is shaded. Mm-hmm. So it shows that you're looking at that sheet. Gianna, you know where we are?
It's Roy, not me.
Oh, Roy's lost. Okay. Roy, can you try to keep up with us? Okay. Anyhow, if you see that that box 102 is shaded, that indicates you're looking at that sheet. And then the other boxes are all the other sheets that include this project area. So the project area goes from 101 to 106. If you look at the kind of in the top center of the drawing, you can see the plant schedule, North Carson Street Interchange. And all the plant material are listed in their quantities, listed by the varieties and their quantities.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just kind of, that's basically how you read the landscaping sheets. And what I did was I went through and I counted up the number of trees by the variety, not necessarily by species, but by horticultural variety. So that's that listing you have that I handed out. And I think it's kind of interesting to note that a total of 356 trees are being planted in this project. It goes a long way towards the Friends of Urban Forest goal of getting 10,000 trees, 1,000 trees a year. So, you know, maybe we need to have a freeway project every year. And the trees are listed by variety. I think it's interesting that the Rocky Mountain Juniper is the largest single variety of tree that's being planted, 73 trees planted. That basically recognizes the fact that, you know, we're in a dry climate and on the edge of a desert or semi-arid. And you can see the different type of varieties of trees all the way down. I think it's the other thing that's interesting is one northern catalpa.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure what happened there, but we have one northern catalpa. But anyhow, this is just kind of for your information. You can see that the varieties of trees and the corresponding numbers that are being planted.
Any questions that you may have? Terry?
I noticed looking at the plans that Four Wing Saltbush was listed as part of the seed mixture. I'm accustomed to Four Wing Saltbush down south. Is it really winter hardy up here?
Yeah, it certainly is. In fact, I'm familiar with Four Wing Saltbush even in the northern Rocky Mountains. So it is hardy.
That was my only question.
Okay.
I didn't have a question, but I just had a comment for everybody's consideration. This is by far the most trees that have gone in Carson City in one sitting.
As you bring recommendations to them now in the future, they're going to at least have a framework of what your goals are, what that presentation included. They can relate back to when you bring these recommendations. And of course, they're always concerned, you know, at this time about, you know, expenditure of funds, you know, and where the money's going to come from. But, you know, when you bring a recommendation such as a street tree planting program in the future to them, they'll have that reference anyways, that point of reference, and then they can decide, you know, whether they'll support it or not.
Okay. Well, cool. Thank you, Roger. Okay, we did item 4C, so we're skipping on that one. 4D is discussion and presentation on a tree inventory and plan for the tree plantings at the freeway interchanges and grade separations. And that will be done by Roger.
Those plans look beautiful, by the way.
Well, good. Thank you.
They really do.
It might be a little bit of overkill here, but we did include in your packet landscape drawings from our plans and specifications for the freeway landscape enhancement project. And it's divided up. You can look, just as an example, I know some of you may not be very experienced at looking at landscape drawings, construction drawings, but is everybody in their packet and have these drawings in front of them?
Just needed a magnifying glass to look at.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? Yeah. I'm finding that maybe I need to get a new prescription for my glasses because they're not as easily visible as it used to be. But if you look at the second page, and it would be in the lower right-hand corner, you can see sheet number L102.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just use that as an example. And then if you look up in the upper right-hand corner, there's a little box that says sheet key. Mm-hmm. And so the sheet you're looking at right here is sheet 102. And you can see that one is shaded. Mm-hmm. So it shows that you're looking at that sheet. Gianna, you know where we are?
It's Roy, not me.
Oh, Roy's lost. Okay. Roy, can you try to keep up with us? Okay. Anyhow, if you see that that box 102 is shaded, that indicates you're looking at that sheet. And then the other boxes are all the other sheets that include this project area. So the project area goes from 101 to 106. If you look at the kind of in the top center of the drawing, you can see the plant schedule, North Carson Street Interchange. And all the plant material are listed in their quantities, listed by the varieties and their quantities.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just kind of, that's basically how you read the landscaping sheets. And what I did was I went through and I counted up the number of trees by the variety, not necessarily by species, but by horticultural variety. So that's that listing you have that I handed out. And I think it's kind of interesting to note that a total of 356 trees are being planted in this project. It goes a long way towards the Friends of Urban Forest goal of getting 10,000 trees, 1,000 trees a year. So, you know, maybe we need to have a freeway project every year. And the trees are listed by variety. I think it's interesting that the Rocky Mountain juniper is the largest single variety of tree that's being planted, 73 trees planted. That basically recognizes the fact that, you know, we're in a dry climate and on the edge of a desert or semi-arid. And you can see the different type of varieties of trees all the way down. I think it's the other thing that's interesting is one northern catalpa.
I'm not sure
what happened there, but we have one northern catalpa. But anyhow, this is just kind of for your information. You can see that the varieties of trees and the corresponding numbers that are being planted. Any questions that you may have? Terry?
I noticed looking at the plans that Four Wing Saltbush was listed as part of the seed mixture. I'm accustomed to Four Wing Saltbush down south. Is it really winter hardy up here?
Yeah, it certainly is. In fact, I'm familiar with Four Wing Saltbush even in the northern Rocky Mountains. So it is hardy.
That was my only question.
Okay.
I didn't have a question, but I just had a comment for everybody's consideration. This is by far the most trees that have gone in Carson City in one sitting, and we offer during Arbor Day an award. So I don't know who we would consider, you know, for something like this, but this is impressive, and I think we absolutely need to recognize, whether it be award or whether it be whatever, the effort that's being put on by NDOT and whoever else is involved, because this is gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, this is hands down the coolest thing going on in town right now. So, and some people disagree, but in regards to the trees, top notch. So,
well, I think that's a great comment. You know, that may be something we may want to think about towards as we get towards Arbor Day. I would think probably NDOT, the Nevada Department of Transportation, along with GROW, the organization that's been working with NDOT, and particularly Mary Fisher, who formulated yes. GROW and is the chairperson of GROW, it'd be very appropriate to honor, you know, those three entities, that one individual and two entities, I should say.
What's Mary's last name again?
Fisher.
Fisher, awesome. Okay, very good. What a feel-good story. all right, any citizen comments? None. Five, does anybody have any future agenda items? Okay. Item five, is there anybody that has any future agenda items?
She had something.
Oh,
no, microphone.
Got it. Anyone? I went ahead and took notes of everything so far that we've talked about. If that changes, contact me. Item six, any citizen comments? None. Item seven, action for adjournment. Would anybody like to make a motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So moved. This closes our meeting. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Good work.
Stand.